on prayer. And I hope that it's changed our behavior when it comes to prayer. We've also did extensive study and are doing it on the subject of faith. I hope and pray that your faith has been exercised. So I say, prayer equals faith. Faith equals prayer. In other words, when you pray, you're praying in faith. When you're exercising your faith, you're going to pray. Now, today we have a crisis. So I want to speak about crisis and what do you do? I'm sure last year every one of us experienced some kind of crisis or desperate time. How did we handle it? Well, I want to look at two characters in the Bible and see how they handled crisis in their lives. So, I'm going to read about a man, Jacob, and we're going to read Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. Genesis 27, verse 41. I hope that our study today will help us as we face this year of crisis, desperate times, COVID. The government is fighting with each other. There's so much crisis in our world and in our lives. So here is Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 41. Wow. It says that, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. That sounds like crisis to me. Now, Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15 says, the Lord says, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Verse 20. Chapter 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. And remember, Esau is going to kill him. In peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. Of all that you give me, I will surely give you 10%. God promised, I will be with you, even in crisis. So we turn to Genesis 31. And verse 3, Esau is waiting to kill Jacob. And the Lord said to Jacob, go, return to the land of your father and to your family, and I will be with you. Lord, you want me to go back to my family's house? Esau is there. I will be with you. Chapter 32, verse 6. Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you with 400 men. Go back to your father's house. I will be with you." The man said, "Listen, Jacob, I saw your brother, and he's coming to you with 400 men. And I wonder why." All right. Now, remember, once I made this statement, fear. Jacob is afraid. Fear says that false evidence appears real. Now, this one is real. Esau is going to kill Jacob, or at least he vowed to do that. So what does Jacob do? He says, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to divide up the people, my family, and send them in droves. Now, if Esau is angry, he will take out the first drove, and so on." In the midst of his scheming and planning, he remembered, the Lord says, "I'm going to be with you." So guess what he does in verse 9? Then Jacob says, "O God of my father," he begins to pray. Saints, if you're facing crisis, pray. Jacob is scheming how he can appease Esau so that Esau does not kill him. But God told him, "Go back. I am with you." Many a times in our Christian experience, instead of praying to God and leave it to God, the song says, "Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus." Jacob is scheming to appease Esau by giving him not only to send the people in front to test to see if he's angry, but he's also going to give him a lot of goods. In other words, I'm going to bribe him. So, to end this part, if you look at chapter 33, and then 3, it says, "Then Jacob crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came to his brother." But Esau was coming with 400 men. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. He didn't kill him. Embraced him and fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept. Is God real? Return to your family. I will be with you. Even if Esau decides he's going to kill Jacob, there's no way he's going to do that because God is with you. You remember the last time I spoke that God was with Joseph? Now, let's look at another character. We're going to do this very fast. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I've spoken this before, and I thought it wise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak it again. Jacob tried to solve this crisis his own way. Now, in this one, we have Jehoshaphat. In verse 3, "Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Every time we read, the Lord is with his people. Crisis, desperate times, God is with you. He promised, "I'll never leave you," even in crisis. So in chapter 17, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways, in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek Baals, but sought the Lord of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Verse 5. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, made him a great man, and therefore the nations around him did not make war against him. Not only that, in verse 12, Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful and built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. And he had much property in the city of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. Now he had Adna, 300,000 men of valor, mighty men of valor. He had Captain Jehohanan. He had 280,000 mighty men of valor. Amasya had 200,000 mighty men of valor. Eliadad had 200,000 men with bow and shields, and Jehozabad had 180,000 men, soldiers prepared for war. So, Jehoshaphat was powerful, rich, and strong, and he had about 1,160,000 men, mighty men of valor. Everything is okay with Jehoshaphat, you think. His cities were fortified. Now turn with me to chapter 20. And the reason why I read that is because I wanted to show you that even when you're strong and mighty, there is crisis. Chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab, the people of Ammon, and others with them beside the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Three nations, and they're going to make war with Judah. Jehoshaphat is strong, powerful, rich, and he has 1 million plus soldiers prepared for war. So this information says, look out. These three nations are coming to war against you. Now, Jehoshaphat could say, okay, I'm well fortified. I have soldiers. But what did he do? In verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. False evidence appears real. This is real. They're coming to fight. So Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. Instead of depending upon his soldiers, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord in prayer. Jacob prayed after he prepared his scheme. Jehoshaphat prayed because with all that he had, he realized, and we'll see later on, he didn't know what to do. Okay. So, in his prayer, and we're going to read it, verse 6, Jehoshaphat said, Lord God of our Father, are you not God in heaven? Jehoshaphat is saying, God, my God, you're powerful. You're great. You're awesome. And even though these nations are coming against me, I'm going to pray and seek your face and depend upon your power. O Lord God of our Father, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is not Is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? I think that's a God we can put our trust in. Pray, faith, believe in your crisis, your desperate time, put it in the hands of God. He is with you. So Jehoshaphat prayed, and the way he prayed, he gave all honor to the great God of heaven. Secondly, he says, not only are you God, powerful God, but you did in the past great things. And Christians, we know we can trust God because we have seen his hand of blessing and protection on us throughout 2021 with all the crisis, with all the desperate time. God was with his people. So, the God who did for us in the past, will he not do for us in time of crisis or desperate times? Solomon, when he built a temple, the Lord promised him that if the people of Israel, when the day of problem come, if they would turn to the temple and pray, God will hear their prayer and help them. So Jehoshaphat says, Lord, I'm going to tell you what you told me. I'm going to remind you of what you said and can do. And then verse 12 is very interesting. Oh God, these three nations that are coming against us, will you not judge them? Because I can't. He says, in verse 12, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. What do you mean you don't have no power? You have 1,160,000 men, mighty men, prepared for valor. So what do you mean you have no power? He's trusting God. He says, nor do we know what to do. Well, call your soldiers. He says, I don't know what to do, but I know you, God, knows what to do. Therefore, my eyes are upon you. Is that the way we pray? Lord, there's a crisis. These are desperate times. So we are going to, instead of scheming and trying to figure it out, we are going to turn to God and let him, let God, who is all sovereign, all powerful, let him act on our behalf. Now, while he's praying, I have no might. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking towards you. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noonday. And God answers prayer at midnight. So while he's praying, the Lord answers through Jehaziel, the prophet. And hear what he says. Remember, though, Jehoshaphat is afraid. He says, be not afraid or dismayed. This is God speaking to Jehoshaphat. The battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Really? You mean these three nations coming against me is not my problem, it's your problem? Yes. Tomorrow, go down against them. Wait a minute. I just told you that I didn't know what to do and I was afraid and I had no power. You're telling me that me and my people must go down tomorrow against this multitude of soldiers? He says, you shall not fight. Go down, but you won't fight. You remember Jericho? Go and walk around the walls. Doesn't make sense does it. Their soldiers and mighty men go and walk around. Now, Jehoshaphat, I want you and your people to go down tomorrow, and you will not fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, Lord, this calls for faith. F-A-I-T. So what is the response? Verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out, Jehoshaphat, and stood. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and says, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets or the word of God, and you shall prosper." Wow. Now, listen to this. They're going down. You would think that the army of 1,160,000 men would go in front. You know who goes in front? The choir. The choir. I left this out. When Jehoshaphat got the words from the Lord, he bowed down and worship. Nothing has happened yet. There's no deliverance. There's no victory. Jehoshaphat bowed himself and the people and worshiped God. Then they what? They praised God for deliverance. That sounds like faith to me. Sister Fox, sounds like faith. Yes. God hasn't done a thing, and you're telling me, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to praise God for what is to come? I wrote this down. It says, where is it? It says, when God has done something for us, that is great. But when God has not done yet, remember that, Archie? Yet, not yet. That is greater. When we worship God before, when we praise God before, and now here comes the choir, and they lead the march toward the battle. If I was looking at it, I would say, this is a joke. Do you remember David and Goliath? Instead of a strapping soldier, here comes a little guy. Oh, come on, what is this? Well, the choir sings, and Brother Cato always read Psalms 136. His mercy endure it forever. You should read it. So they went down and they're singing. And while they're singing, God calls the three nations to fight against each other. God calls the three nations to fight against each other. So when Judah went up to the top of the mountain and looked over it, what they saw is not soldiers. They saw dead bodies. So now they said before, we do not know what to do. Now they know what to do. What were they to do? Go and collect the spoils. Gold, raiments. Makes no sense. Instead of we fighting and winning a battle, not only did we not fight, not only did we win the battle, but we have substance called spoils. All the spoils, all the goodies from these nations. It took them 3 days to collect all the goodies. 3 days. And guess what they did? The fourth day, they praise the Lord. That's why in the valley of Baraka, which is the meaning valley of blessing, they Judah's right there, having got collected the spoils, they praise and worship and bless the Lord. Give thanks before. Give thanks after. You have crisis in your life? Give God thanks before. Can you? Make sense? Well, we give thanks after God has done great things for us. We give thanks. But God is saying, you got faith? You believe in me? Can I do it? Then thank me in advance. Not only do they do that, they return to Jerusalem, praising God, and listen what they did. They went to the house of God. Now, I would be going home with my spoil. They went to the house of God to worship, to give thanks, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I want to notice, show you something. Back in chapter 17 and verse 10 says, it says, and the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Look at chapter 20 and verse 29. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries, of all those countries, when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Crisis. In the time of crisis, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. And for us leaders, we are responsible not just to seek the Lord, but to have the saints with us. That's why when we have prayer meeting, it is not just prayer meeting. It is a body of Christians, at Good Tidings, coming together to seek God. You're not telling God what's going on. You are not informing him, but you're showing God your dependence, your faith in him. So, brothers and sisters, when we call a prayer meeting, don't say another one. By the way, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. So, therefore, could this happen to Good Tidings? Could we have prayer meeting every evening here at Good Tidings? I'm sure somebody would say we're crazy. I mean, we have prayer meeting on Tuesdays. Now, I remembered, I'm finished, by the way. I remembered 9/11. Everybody went to call upon God. Crisis. Desperate time. Everybody went. Matter of fact, Madison Square Garden had all these pastors, prophets, reverend, everybody calling on God. Believers, we have crisis every day. Remember the three nations? We have three enemies: the flesh, the world, and the devil. And he wants to defeat us. So guess what? We don't pray in the morning and pray Tuesday night. We are supposed to pray all the time. And you know what's so funny? The Holy Spirit, he always nudges you. Prayer is not a long dissertation. Your prayer is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's prayer. So, saints, it's 2022. We've been through crisis after crisis in 2021 and before. Like Jacob, we are not going to scheme and figure out how we can overcome these crises, because we can't. Like Jehoshaphat, let us seek the Lord in prayer. Seek the Lord in prayer. I'm learning that, believe me. And I'm not just praying a prayer. I'm praying in faith. Believe God. Look what he's done for you. He's giving you salvation. As we remembered this morning, we have a hope to see Jesus one day. Let us, brothers and sisters, seek the Lord, and he will come. I'm going to read a verse of scripture, and then Richie can come. It's found in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. They say, when you're finished, stop. Isaiah chapter 30, and I think verse 19. Let me read the entire verse. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry or prayer. When he hears, he will answer you. When you pray, God will answer. May the Lord bless his word. And may we this year, and we're going to have crisis. Pray. Richie? Thank you.